A man in a suburban Chicago community, known for his sociability as well as his volunteer work with children. A man who helped his neighbors by plowing snow free of charge. A man that would dress up as a clown and perform at charitable events and children's parties. A man who also offered use of his employees to clean party headquarters at no charge to the local Democratic Party. Even rewarded for his community service with an appointment to serve on his township's park committee. Hosted themed annual summer parties with hundreds of guests, including politicians. Now, it's shocking to say the least that at the same time, that man committed the most homicides in United States history. 33. That man would torture young boys before brutally murdering them. This man was John Wayne Gacy, and he was one of the most appalling and notorious serial killers in the world. In this video, I will be talking about John Wayne Gacy's childhood, his young adult life, and crimes he committed pre-murderer and then eventually pre-serial killer. Now, this will be a two-part video just because of how dense and how much is on this topic of John Wayne Gacy and his victims. So if you want to see part two of this video, make sure to subscribe to this channel and turn the notification bell on if you feel inclined to do so, if you feel inclined to be notified when the part two comes up. But also subscribe regardless because I post videos every single week here on the spine-chilling, paranormal, conspiracy, true crime topics that you want to hear about. I also have a longer form podcast here on this channel called Cauldron Convos, repping the shirt, repping the game. And on that podcast, I have a co-host. It's a lot lighter, less serious, funny because we talk about urban legends and more of that stuff, not true crime. Things that happen to victims, because that would be really messed up if we were laughing and making jokes about that. But I also have these short 15-minute videos that I make, like this one. So if you want, or if you're interested in either of those, please make sure to subscribe, because it really helps me. It just helps me a lot. Helps me live out my life. It helps me do my passion, which is this. It's kind of twisted, but, you know, what do you expect from me? I also have a TikTok and Instagram, @LoveKRay, if you're interested in following on either of those. I post a lot weirder things there. Ha, ew. Let's start at the beginning with John Wayne Gacy's childhood. Now, a lot of the time when discussing a serial killer, people will frequently ask, well, why? Why are they like this? What happened during their childhood? Why would a man like John Wayne Gacy harm 33 innocent people? Now, we saw on the show Dahmer on Netflix that they wanted to study Jeffrey Dahmer's brain. However, they ultimately didn't because of, you know, just watch the show. However, they did in fact study John Wayne Gacy's brain. They wanted to know why these types of people do the things that they do in hopes of maybe being able to identify it earlier in life and maybe being able to prevent it somehow. Dr. Helen Morrison has studied and interviewed over 135 serial killers, and she has spent more than 600 hours interviewing John Wayne Gacy himself, which is just crazy to think about. I can't even imagine being her, you know? Like, cool, but also, how do you sleep at night? I mean, maybe she knows them better than anyone else, so maybe she really, like, has mastered how to not be murdered by a serial killer. I don't know. And this doctor actually had possession of Gacy's brain to perform an autopsy on it. The tests were shocking because nothing came back. His results were normal. She stated, "Murder is just an action. It has no meaning. It has no motive. It has no underlying cause. The most frightening part about a serial killer is there is no reason," Morrison said. "Even now, little is known about what sparks a serial killer." She continued by saying, "We know that it is something in the electrical system that is acted on by hormones in the brain when adolescence begins, and that is as far as we've gotten." And many people and psychologists will frequently look back to the serial killer's childhood to identify if there was any trauma, if there were any points, patterns, or potential signs of them becoming a murderer. So that's kind of why we're going into the childhood. But what happened? Well, he was born in 1942 in Chicago, Illinois, and he was said to be actually pretty close with his mother as well as his two sisters. However, he had a turbulent relationship with his father, who was an alcoholic as well as physically and verbally abusive to Gacy and the rest of his family. His father would call him things such as dumb and stupid and would beat him with belts and other objects. As a result, Gacy never felt good enough for his father. In an interview, John Wayne Gacy's sister Karen pointed out that when John would get beat, quote, he would not cry, and sometimes I think that made Dad angry. In 1949, when Gacy was just 7 years old, him and another boy were caught fondling another girl. As a result, his dad whipped him with a razor strop. That same year, a family friend, as well as a contractor, molested Gacy in his truck multiple times. And Gacy also had health issues such as a burst appendix, and he spent almost a year in a hospital between the ages of 14 and 18, and he claimed that this was the reason that he was getting poor grades, that his grades were declining. However, his father thought that Gacy was actually just faking this medical condition to gain sympathy. He would call Gacy things like sissy and kind of make remarks jokingly that he was a wimp or girly or things of that nature. Additionally, one of Gacy's friends from high school actually recalled several instances when Gacy's father ridiculed or beat John without provocation. In 1957, the friends saw Gacy's father emerging drunk from the family basement to verbally and physically abuse Gacy for no reason. Gacy simply, quote, put up his hands to defend himself. And according to the friend, Gacy never struck his father back in any of these altercations. Now, according to a psychology study, on average, about 50% of serial killers suggest they have experienced childhood psychological abuse. 36% have experienced childhood physical abuse, and 26% have experienced childhood sexual abuse, meaning abuse in childhood is linked to serial killers' later behaviors. In a different study, a behavior sequence analysis of serial killers' lives from childhood abuse to methods of murder, it's clear that different types of childhood abuse is sometimes linked to different types of serial killers. For example, some serial killers kill for sex, some serial killers kill for money, some kill for power, etc. In this study, an all-male sample of 233 serial killers with a documented history of childhood abuse was collected. The results showed that in serial killers with childhood physical abuse, there was a distinct sequence between the experience of physical abuse and a specifically lust typology as the motive of the killings. Now, I bring up the psychology study just because I do think it is interesting how they do have a study that shows that in serial killers with childhood physical abuse, there is a link between the experience of the physical abuse specifically with this specific R word or lust typology as the motive of the killings. As John Wayne Gacy started going through adolescence, becoming a man, things started taking a dark twist. So at 18, Gacy found work with an ambulance service in Vegas before he was transferred to work as an attendant at a mortuary. And at this mortuary, he actually slept in a cot behind the embalming room, which, never a good sign. Gacy worked there for 3 months, where he would observe the morticians actually embalming the dead bodies and occasionally served as a pallbearer, aka the people that kind of carry the coffins during a funeral. Gacy actually confessed that one night while he was working, he actually got into the coffin of a deceased teenage boy and started embracing and caressing the body. And after this, Gacy called his mother asking if he could come back home, which the father agreed to, and he did. The same day, he apparently drove back to Chicago. Now, although he never graduated from high school, Gacy went to business college, though I think it was an associate's degree. He took a management position at a shoe company, and at 22, he was actually engaged to a female coworker, and he was doing pretty well at his company. According to Gacy, that same year, one of his colleagues got him drunk and invited him over. During this stay, his colleague performed oral sex on him while he was drunk. Regardless, he still married his female coworker, and actually, his coworker's father, aka his new father-in-law, bought 3 different KFC restaurants, and John actually managed these restaurants for his father-in-law and got a pretty good salary for the time and even got a cut of the restaurant's profits as well. Though Gacy did claim that just like his father-in-law wasn't proud of him. He kind of didn't really approve of him, even though he did let him manage 3 KFC restaurants, which I don't know if I could do all of those KFCs, honestly. Those buckets are big. In 1966 and 1967, Gacy and his wife had 2 children, and he finally felt accepted by his own father. His father even apologized to Gacy for all of the childhood years of abuse and said he was wrong about Gacy. He was actually, you know, a pretty decent man. He joined the local JC chapter, would even provide some free fried chicken to them. However, this local JC chapter was kind of up to no good. They would do things such as wife swap, use prostitutes and drugs, and just 5 months months after his daughter was born, he assaulted a 15-year-old boy, Donald Voorhees Jr., who was the son of a fellow JC and also a politician. That same year, Gacy similarly abused other young boys, including one whom he encouraged to have sex with his own wife before blackmailing him into performing sexual acts. Gacy would also do things like trick teenagers into thinking that Gacy was actually just conducting research on homosexuals, and he would sometimes pay these teenagers for the things that he would do. In 1968, Donald Voorhees Jr. actually told his father what had happened to him by Gacy. His father immediately told the police. Gacy denied the charges, asked for a polygraph test, and the polygraph test just kind of noted that he was very nervous during it. However, 2 months later, Gacy was indicted on a sodomy charge. 3 months after that, Gacy thought it would be smart to pay one of his employees at the, KFC $300 to physically assault Donald Voorhees Jr. to discourage the boy from testifying against Gacy in court. The employee agreed, sprayed mace, and beat Donald Voorhees Jr. Shocker to no one, this didn't stop Donald Voorhees Jr. from talking. Voorhees actually reported the assault to the police, and the employee actually did confess that he did do it, but it was on behalf of Gacy as his boss told him to do it. Police were actually then able to arrest Gacy and even add another charge on him, so his tactic did not work. Again, shocker. Gacy pleaded guilty to one count of sodomy in relation to Voorhees, but not the other youths that he assaulted. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison, and on top of it, his wife petitioned him for divorce literally the following day, asking for their home, sole custody of her two children, as well as alimony. The court obviously ruled in her favor, and Gacy never saw his wife or children again. But in jail, Gacy actually seemed to be doing pretty well. He rose to the ranks pretty quickly and became a head cook, head chef, joined the inmate JC chapter, which he grew a lot, secured an increase in the inmate's daily pay, and has done more. I think he even made a miniature golf or something in the jail. I don't know. Gacy tried for parole, didn't get it, but then on the second time, he actually got it. He received 12 months probation after only serving 18 months of his 10-year sentence in prison. I don't know how someone who pleads guilty for sodomy of an underage child ends up getting out in 18 months. That just seems really wrong to me. I hope that never happens again. Yeah, I'm just disturbed by that. Gacy told the friend who picked him up from prison that he would never go back to jail and that he was going to reestablish himself and make something of himself again and still claim that he was innocent. But within 24 hours of his release, Gacy actually moved back to Chicago. Not even a year later, in February of 1971, Gacy was charged with sexually assaulting a teenage boy who claimed that he had lured him into his car at Chicago's Greyhound bus terminal and driven them to his home. He said that this is where he attempted to force him into sex. However, this complaint was dismissed when the boy did not show up to court. 4 months after that, Gacy was arrested and charged with aggravated sexual battery and reckless conduct in response to a complaint filed by a boy who claimed that Gacy had shown him a sheriff's badge, made him go into his car, and forced him to perform oral sex, but the charges were dropped. In August of 1971, Gacy actually became engaged again to a former girlfriend in high school. And in October 1971, Gacy's parole ended. Somehow, he was not caught. The Board of Parole didn't hear about these incidents, and so it just ended, and he was kind of a free man. Just 3 months after his probation ended, John Wayne Gacy's first murder took place in January 1972, and this is just the known murders. We aren't positive if there weren't any before this. But since now we are on the murder part, I'm going to leave that for part two of this video. Again, if you are interested in hearing about part two and all of this stuff, please make sure to subscribe to this channel as well as hit that notification bell to, get notified when I do post a part two. Anyways, I hope you guys liked this video, thought it was interesting, and I'll see you guys next time here on Love K-Ray. And make sure to watch Cauldron Convos, my podcast. Okay, cool. Thanks. Love you guys. See you next time. Bye.